Welcome to the Mindful Moments for Families and Schools podcast. This is Kelly Winkler, your host. If you are a parent or a teacher who would like to have a more peaceful, calm, and centered environment, then you are in the right place. In this podcast, we will learn to weave yoga and mindfulness into your daily routines to help both you and your children be able to regulate your emotions, feel connected, and be resilient. I'm excited to share these incredible tools with you, so let's get started. Welcome back to Mindful Moments for Families and Schools. This is Kelly. I'm excited today to have on two wonderful women who are really inspirational, and they are moms with a big mission. I have on today Jessica Quarello and Taryn Laganegro, who founded Extra Lucky Moms to create community for all special needs moms, regardless of what diagnosis their kids have. This platform is a place for moms to come to get inspired and fulfilled, laugh and learn, and be seen and heard. It's a space to find real moms talking about real life, interviews with people who inspire, and to learn about all abilities and disabilities to create a more inclusive world. You can learn more about their mission on Instagram at Extra Lucky Moms or on their website, extraluckymoms.com. I'm so thrilled to have on these two beautiful ladies. We have a great conversation, all things about advocacy and creating community and support for moms and moms finding that time to take care of themselves. And they give wonderful tips and advice and just really give moms a place to turn to. So let's dive in and hear all they have to say. Welcome, Taryn and Jess. I'm so happy to have you.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Excited to be here.
Great. I'm excited. So I'm going to let you guys decide. I would love for you both to introduce yourselves and just tell us a little bit about your stories. So I don't know who wants to go first. You guys can decide.
Okay, I'll go first. So I'm Taryn Laganegro. I wear a bunch of hats. I have a yoga studio, Iris Mind and Body, which Kelly is pretty familiar with. And a few months ago started a platform called Extra Lucky Moms, which is what we'll be talking about a little bit today. I am the mom to four girls, the youngest of whom has Down syndrome, which is what threw me into the special needs space. We live in North Jersey. Life is a little crazy in a good way, and that's me in a nutshell.
Awesome. All right, Jess, take it over.
And I'm Jess. I'm the co-founder of Extra Lucky Moms along with Taryn. I'm a mom to two girls. I live in Hoboken. 10 months ago, Adeline was born and she had Down syndrome. It was a birth diagnosis. We didn't have any idea. And I was catapulted into this incredible community of special needs. And the Down syndrome community is loud and proud, but we, Taryn and I, wanted to connect with more moms within this space. So we recently started Extra Lucky Moms, and, that's me. I stay home with Adeline, and Extra Lucky Moms is my full-time job too. So I'm managing two different jobs now, which is really rewarding, but crazy.
Nice. Well, welcome and congratulations on the new platform of Extra Lucky Moms. It looks amazing. I'm honored to have been a part of it already. I want to hear a little bit about, I know you guys met through the Down syndrome community. So how did you come up with this idea of Extra Lucky Moms?
Yeah, like Jess briefly mentioned, we both had different entries into the Down syndrome community. I had a prenatal diagnosis. So I knew at about 13 weeks pregnant that the baby I was expecting would have Down syndrome. Jess learned at birth, but either way, both of us pretty much immediately found that there was this giant community of people in the Down syndrome community who had their arms open wide and said congratulations, and kind of knew the little secret that we were starting to learn, which is that, you know, Down syndrome is just this joyful, amazing community. The children, the adults, it's just a, you know, joyful community to be a part of. But what, you know, we started thinking about as we were talking and kind of seeing like what, you know, because Jess and I both have that personality where we're like, okay, what can we do? We've been given this gift of these children. What can we do with this? Like to make the community even better, or to make the world better, to make things better for our children. And we just kept thinking about all of the moms that didn't have the Down syndrome community with their arms open wide. So there's so many different special needs. Ones that, you know, do have a larger community, like the autism community is pretty big. But then so many of these smaller things, like I have a friend whose daughter has CDLS, which is Cornelia de Lange syndrome, a very, very rare condition that children are born with. And they have a community, but, you know, just creating this big giant community of all special needs moms that could all know the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs that we all experience on a daily basis. So that's really where this idea came from, was to just, you know, bring us all together and talk about the good and the bad, talk about what we need to do to keep ourselves healthy and thriving. Because I think what Jess and I both feared as new moms getting this diagnosis was that we would lose ourselves, that, you know, we would stop taking care of ourselves and all of that. And, you know, so creating a community where we talk about that, but we also maybe share ideas on how we all find ways to take care of ourselves and make sure that we can be good for our children. I don't know if I missed anything, Jess. Or
I feel like you covered it. And I think one thing I'll add is that, you know, Taryn and I, and you spoke about this, we wanted to do something. We really felt like we were blessed with these children. And everybody advocates differently. Some people are on the phone lobbying for changing the laws to provide more resources for our kids. We really thrived in the community experience that we had already been a part of, the Lucky Few, and then just sort of the local community here in New Jersey. And it was incredible. So we said, like, what can we do? And this, it was really crazy when we both put our heads together. It just happened. I mean, it was really bizarre. At one point we were talking about the logo and Taryn was texting me her idea. And I said, I think it should be purple. And the idea came through and it was purple. So we were just so aligned. It felt very serendipitous. And then it kind of just evolved into this beautiful space for all special needs parents and mothers to come together. And for me, one of my really good friends, her son has special needs that are undiagnosed. And she always has felt very outside of the special needs community because she doesn't have a diagnosis yet. They're still trying to figure out what's going on with him. And I hated that there was this sort of little club that I was in that she didn't feel she could be a part of. And so we wanted to be as inclusive as possible, because at the end of the day, we're all moms trying to help our kids thrive. And she was doing the same thing, regardless of not having a diagnosis. So we've been able to make people feel included and advocate at the same time. So it's been really rewarding so far.
I love it. And it's so true. There are so many facets in the special needs world, and it can be very isolating and very lonely for moms, especially when there's new diagnosis, or like your friend Jess, who, you know, it just, you're not sure what the actual diagnosis is, and you're just constantly searching for answers. But there's always this common thread, no matter what the diagnosis is, I feel like, is that it's challenging and it has so many ups and downs. And while there's lots of joys, there's also lots of struggles. And I think community and what you're doing is so important, because like I said, it can feel lonely. So, you know, having a nice place to call home, like where you feel this connection to people that are meeting some of the same challenges that you are. I mean, my daughter, you know, has OCD, and
you know, she got a diagnosis 5 years ago, and I just about 6 months ago joined a specific community for that because I had a lot of support. I have a big family, I have friends, but nobody really understood those real specific challenges or understood sometimes, you know, like you just need someone to like, you know, not judge what you're doing because they know like where you're coming from. And some people just don't understand that. So it's really nice to have a community just that you can go to and find that commonality. And so I love what you're doing. So I want to know what would be a tip if there's a mom out there who might be feeling lonely and is kind of hasn't found that place yet. What's a tip you might give her?
So I think what I've found in this journey is that there is a support group for everything. They may be small, they may be enormous, but there are people going through what you're going through out there. You just have to search for them. When I got the birth diagnosis, I went online and joined the DSDN Facebook group and found this incredible group of people going through exactly what I was doing. I searched on Instagram with the hashtag birth diagnosis Down syndrome, hashtag Down syndrome, and started messaging people. I was really desperate. I wanted to talk to somebody that understood what exactly as you were saying, like that what I was going through. And because of social media, there's so much more connection than there used to be. I mean, there's a lot of things you can say negatively about social, but I think that from my experience, it's been something that's I'm so thankful for. So I'd encourage them to follow hashtags, reach out to people. I've also learned that people in this space, they want to talk, they want to share. We don't want to be weird and have people look at us like we're weirdos because our kids do things differently at the restaurant or on the street or whatever. Talk to us, ask what's going on. Like, people want to talk. So I'd say reach out to, you know, via hashtag on social media, and then do your research locally. See if there's anything going on in your town or in that county. You know, reach out to a nonprofit that focuses on your diagnosis, ask them for help and resources. There is so much out there. You just have to kind of start looking and be open to connecting. And that journey, you know, can happen later. So I wasn't necessarily ready right away to connect to people. I took my time once I sort of settled into my new norm and reality. But when you're ready, they're there. People are out there.
I love it.
I think the only thing I would add to that is just to, you know, be transparent and be open and be willing to open your heart, because yeah. I think that that's when that true connection happens, is when, you know, I feel like the mom thing is starting, like the mom narrative is like starting to shift, where I feel like everyone was, you know, had to hide all their imperfections and, you know, were afraid to like put out there, you know, that they went through the McDonald's drive-through that day because they just were so stressed out and all of that. And I think the more that you open up, the more that you find that people are doing and going through the same exact things as you. And I think when you know, to people who aren't in the special needs community, it might, you know, it might feel like, you know, if I talk to like maybe a parent of a typical child and I am talking about all the therapies that Raya has and all that, it might sound like I'm complaining. But when I talk to another special needs mom, they're, you know, they might say, oh, I totally get that. And they know that I love my child more than anything in the world, but yes. I might need to vent about how many therapies I had that week. That's okay. Yes. You know what I mean? Because we all like get that. So I think, you know, being willing to just kind of open your heart and speak the truth and put yourself out there a little bit would be probably my tip.
Totally. That's a good tip.
Yeah, it's a great tip. What both of you said is great. Actually, I found that when my daughter was first diagnosed with OCD, a lot of family members and friends were kind of like, you know, just keep it like, you know, amongst us kind of thing. Mm. Like, you know, it was like they wanted me to be like hush hush about it, you know. And my tendency was I wanted to share because I knew there had to be other people out there going through this same thing. And the more I talked about her anxiety and the more I talked about her struggles, like it was just like people came out of the woodwork, like, oh, my sister or my niece, or, you know, it was just like every time I talked to somebody about it, they had a connection to that community. And I think that you're right. It's so important that we don't feel like we have to hide our struggles. And it has nothing to do with who we are as a parent or who our child is and, you know, how we feel about our child, you know, all of those things that you said, like it's so true. And I think sharing our stories is the way to just normalize everything, because everything should be normal. There should be no like hiding things that, you know, you're embarrassed of. This is just, you know, we still have these amazing kids, and it's really so important to share your story so you can have the support and you can support others, because there's somebody out there who's not sharing their story, and maybe they'll get the courage to share their story if you share yours.
Absolutely. I've already seen that happen. You're so right. I think it's not, you know, no one's perfect. There is not a perfect human being. We all have our struggles. Some people have a diagnosis for theirs and some people don't. But by shouting out loud and proud that you have a child that just, you know, has a diagnosis, it just takes away the discomfort. Like if we can advocate for our children and normalize special needs and advocate for our kids and those within the community, we can change the way people think. We can change the landscape. We can change the narrative. We can be in charge of it. If we're embarrassed, then people are going to think it's that we should, you know, they're ashamed or whatever, you know, we're embarrassed. It's communicating a negative thing. So if we're loud and proud, then that changes the narrative.
Absolutely. So, it changes the narrative for the other people out there in the world. And it changes the narrative for our child, because if we're acting embarrassed about a struggle that they have, what message does that send to them?
Right.
So, you know, that's really important too. So, you know, and, you know, you're are still really, really young, but you're starting out as these amazing advocates for them. And for sure, they're going to turn into wonderful advocates for themselves. I've seen that with my daughter, and she's now starting to advocate for other people. And that's like the domino effect, you know, that's the beautiful thing. And so that's one amazing, unexpected thing that I found in our experience. Now, I know this platform is still fairly new. Have you guys had anything unexpected, joy or positive that's come out of this so far?
I think for me, there's been so many people who have reached out to us who have said like, yes, this was necessary.
Finally. You know?
like people in different, people even with like, I've had a mom with autism reach out and say, oh my gosh, you don't know how needed this is, you know? And like I said, the autism community is as big and proud as the Down syndrome community in many ways. But just bringing us all together and just normalizing that and saying like, I don't care if you have Down syndrome or autism or some other type of chromosomal difference or OCD or any of those other things, like we're all in this together. We all know what we're going through and we all need to find ways to support each other so that we can thrive as mothers.
Yeah. And I'd say too, one thing that I knew would happen, but it's been happening so, it's been so impactful for me, is I'm learning so much. We just had a family on our platform whose daughter had achondroplasia. There we go. It's a mouthful, which is the most common form of dwarfism. And she was so incredible with educating proper, you know, ways to like, you don't use the M word, like what the proper vocabulary is for achondroplasia.
It's a hard word.
It's a hard one. but she was so informative. She just, I was on the edge of my seat and going through my own stories on Extra Lucky Moms, learning more about her amazing daughter and their life. And that's just one story. I mean, I've learned so much in the past month and a half that we started this. And you know, if I'm learning, everyone else is learning. So I think we're on the right path.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you, I've been enjoying, you know, each week seeing, you know, all the different moms or anybody, because you've had some other people come on just as other advocates. Mm-hmm. And or even yesterday, I know you had on, I was enjoying yesterday's, I cannot remember her name now off the top of my head.
Amy
was talking a lot about like advocating for special ed and different learning disabilities. And I just, it's wonderful because, again, just the more we talk about these things and the more we educate people on different things, that is, you know, awareness is power. And so yeah. It's really been a joy watching it develop, and I'm excited to see, you know, where else it goes. Do you have any other, I know, like I said, it's just getting started, and I love what you're doing about having other people take over your stories for the day and having people do guest blogs. Any long-term goals that you think, like, you know, where it's going to go from there? Or
oh yeah, Taryn, do you want to take this one?
Sure. So we are actually going to start a podcast this summer. We're going to start recording at the end of June because, you know, it's great to do Instagram stories and lives and all of that stuff that we've been doing. But, you know, having these conversations like you have been having and then having a place where they all are and, you know, diving in a little bit deeper to some of these things is really important to us. So we're starting a podcast. Beyond that, I think we both have like a big dream of having, you know, programs out there for special needs moms, you know, whether that, you know, what that looks like, we kind of haven't figured that out yet, but where we can all learn, you know, because we do want to keep focusing on nurturing mom mm-hmm. as we learn about all of these other things. And as we learn how to be advocates, we do want to focus on, you know, nurturing mom and making sure she's taking care of herself, because we know that the mom is really, you know, the root of the household, mom or dad, you know, but, you know, the parents are the root of the household. So nurturing, you know, nurturing them, it trickles down to everything else. You know, when we're having a bad day as a mom, unfortunately, it affects the flow of the house and all of that. So, you know, if we can all make sure that we're filling our cup in the little bits of time, where, you know, that's what we always want to stay true to, is we're not saying that every version of self-care is going to be a vacation or, you know, a 90-minute massage. We know that for a lot of our moms, that's just not a reality, whether it's time or money or stuff like that. Logistics, right. I mean, some of us have a hard time stepping away for 10 minutes. but maybe that is what it is how can we make the most of those 10 minutes and, you know, and find ways to, like, the little times to take care of ourselves throughout the day. Where we feel fulfilled and we feel ready to give to our kids.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, I'm so excited for the podcast. I love the podcast platform because I think it's so accessible for moms, right? We can't always sit down to watch, you know, something on TV or, you know, watch a documentary or, you know, read a book, but we could, you know, hop on a podcast and our headphones while we're, you know, folding laundry or doing dishes or walking the kids to school or sitting in the car line, waiting to pick the kids up from school. It's just, it's really, really accessible. And I think that this platform of podcast is the perfect place for you to continue to share with moms, because I think it makes it easy to get the information out there, because they can kind of like do it and still kind of be doing what they need to do for their kiddos.
Multitasking at its best.
Yeah, yes. For sure. It's like my favorite way to get through my chores that I don't like laundry and dishes.
Yeah, exactly.
Same. Oh my gosh, same for me. Yes.
So that is great. Well, I always like to give some final tips for parents who are listening. So what I'd like you to each give a couple tips for moms out there of special need children. You already gave a whole bunch within what our conversation of what we were saying, but I'd like you to each give your top two or three tips.
Just in general, tips.
Yeah, in general.
I think my number one tip would be to think of your child as your child first. and their diagnosis second. I struggled a lot with the birth diagnosis. I didn't even really see my baby. All I saw was her Down syndrome, which was just a part of what happens. It's very common when you have a birth diagnosis. It's difficult to, like, you know, the trauma. It's a pretty overwhelming experience. And I had a nurse in the hospital, and I kept inspecting her because we didn't get the test back. And, you know, it wasn't confirmed for the first few days. And I kept inspecting her and saying, well, I don't know if she doesn't have the line in her hand, or maybe, you know, the flatness of her face is just because she was really against my pelvis. Like, all the things that the doctors had pointed out, I was just trying to justify in my head. And I wasn't enjoying my child. And this nurse, her name was Angel, actually, she came to me and she was like, honey, it's just a baby. It's just your baby. Just love her. And you can worry about the rest another time. And it just hit me in that moment. I'm like, what am I doing? I am obsessing about this diagnosis. This is Adeline, and I need to just love Adeline. And from that moment, I really committed to getting to know my baby, loving my baby, and thinking of her diagnosis second. And even when she got older, I would take the time to just snuggle her, you know, because you're running around doing all these appointments and PT, OT, you know, sometimes you just want to snuggle them and skip the laundry, skip all the other stuff. Just be with your baby. Remember, they're a baby first. They're a human being first, and their diagnosis is always second. So that's one of my biggest tips. And then I know that, you know, our platform is about supporting and loving and loving on moms, to take time for yourself. And that, as Taryn mentioned, can be in any capacity. You know, for me, sometimes I stay in the shower for 5 more minutes and I just sort of let the water come down my back and I meditate and I just take a bunch of breaths. Or, you know, listen to your favorite podcast while you're doing laundry. Take time for you. It's okay to not be doing the research when you should be doing the research. Or it's okay to take a step back, think about you first, because if the mama isn't taken care of and bringing her best self to her family, it's not good for your children or your husband or your partner. So, you know, I like to remember that I matter just as much as my child, and I want to give her the best care possible. So that means I have to take care of myself too.
Great tips.
So mine, similar to the first thing that Jess said, about, you know, they're a baby first or a child first, is just, you know, listening to, you know, when we say, like, in yoga, Kelly, like, you know, like, listen to your body. It's really listening to your child too. There's been times where I've canceled the therapy because I could tell that Raya and I weren't going to be into it that day. And, you know, pushing her or I is just not going to create the right message for her. It's not going to, you know, motivate her. And, you know, there's, like, I canceled it and we've played, and that's, you know, therapy in and of itself for both mm-hmm. of us. So really taking a look at your calendar, and but also, like, listening in that day, and, you know, not canceling all the time and all of that, of course, but if something once in a while, if it just doesn't feel right, you know, just take the time for the two of you instead. And then the other thing, you know, around the area of self-care is to put stuff in the calendar. When I put stuff in the calendar, I stick to it. Or when I add it to my to-do list, I stick to it. Mm. So if you start the week saying, like, oh, I really hope to do yoga this week, it's never going to happen if it's just a hope. But if you look through, you know, your studio schedule or something, and you say, I'm going to take yoga at 7 a.m. on Thursday, and you communicate that to your partner or your support system, and you let them know that that's really what you need, and you need them to kind of hold down the fort for an hour so that you can do that. You know, hopefully they'll be supportive of that, but putting it in the calendar helps you stick to it. If it's just a hope, it's, you know, we're all going to push it to the bottom of the list.
So. I like that tip. I'm going to do that. That's a good tip. And I have one more that I wanted to mention is listen to your intuition. I have a really amazing group of doctors for Adeline. And the reason I love them is because I'm a part of the decision-making process. At the end of the day, you know your child. You know when they're hungry, they're tired, they're whatever they're feeling, you know your baby, and your intuition is strong. And more recently, I've become stronger in leaning into my intuition and saying, I disagree. I don't think that she needs to do these extra tests or whatever, and have been standing up for my child. And luckily my intuition has been right. I know my kid, and I know these doctors are meeting her for 30 minutes. You know, they don't know her as well as I do. And so if you have a doctor who doesn't want to consider your intuition or your opinion, you know, find a new doctor, get a second opinion, find a good team. Yeah. You know, you don't have to, and Taryn, you spoke about this in your blog post. You don't have to pick the doctor that you're given, for a procedure or whatever. You know, you can choose who the right fit for you and your child is. So follow your heart, listen to your intuition, take care of yourself, and put on your calendar.
Yes.
All the things.
Those are great tips. I love each and every one of them. They're all, I identify with all of them. And I think that a lot of people will. So thank you for sharing that. I know you're always looking for people to participate in your platform. So how can listeners participate if they want to join you on this journey?
People can head over to on Instagram, Extra Lucky Moms, or you can find us on Facebook as well. You can email us extraluckymoms@gmail.com. And our website is extraluckymoms.com. So any one of those ways, there's a submission form on our website. You can just head over and just email us directly if you want. But yeah, we have been building our calendar out. We're usually booking blog posts like a few weeks in advance. So even if you have an idea and you don't have anything written down yet, just reach out to us and we'll get you on the calendar.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And then how can listeners connect with the two of you and follow your individual stories aside from Extra Lucky Moms?
Yeah, so you can follow us on Instagram. I am Let's Dress Up, like Let's Dress Up, but with Jess. How funny is that? And then I have a website, letsdressup.com, where you can follow me there. It used to be a fashion blog, and now it's melded into this like mommy fashion style. It's everything, just sharing my life in general. So those are my two platforms you can follow me on.
And I'm at Mindfully Taryn on Instagram, and I don't have a personal blog. But just, you know, on Instagram, you can find me there. And I have in my like link tree all different articles that have been published and all that.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. I'll link amazing. All of those places in the show notes, so it's easy for people to hop over and find you guys and follow along. It was so great having you. I, again, love what you guys are doing with this platform. I'm honored to have been a part of it already. And I look forward to where it goes from here. It sounds really, really exciting.
Thank you so
much. Thank you, Kelly. Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Thank you for joining me on my mission to spread peace and joy by introducing children and families to the power of yoga and mindfulness. I could not achieve this goal without all of you listening and trying these tips with the kids in your life. If you enjoyed this episode and found it helpful, please subscribe and leave me a review. If you would also suggest this podcast to parents and teachers, I would be so grateful. If you would like to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Mindful Moments for Families and on Facebook at Kidding Around Yoga with Kelly. For more information on my offered programs, such as yoga classes for children and adults, workshops and professional development, and corporate chair yoga, visit my website at kiddingaroundyoga.com/Kelly. I'll see you all here on our next episode, but in the meantime, remember, take a deep breath.